This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is day 9 of the movement control order. Welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It is Thursday, by the way, in case you forgot, in case you're doing the countdowns of the number of days that you're going through the movement control order. It is also Thursday today. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Rita Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And on the show today, we're asking you, does social media help or hurt in the battle against COVID-19? And also because, you know, most of you, like I said, are staying at home, you know, obeying the movement control order. And we know, you know, all the reports have came out and said that everyone is now relying on their digital channels to keep themselves entertained. So has this actually helped you, or has it actually in some ways hurt you in the battle against COVID-19? Get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter, Instagram, it's at BFM Radio. We've got comments and we will go through all of those comments that we've received later in the show. Following that, we also have a story about how working from home could actually be a playground for criminals.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Yeah. Scary, but I think it's something that we need to understand because it's as important as washing your hands.
Yeah.
It's a very basic message and it will sound like, yeah, of course, I know all this. But, you know, as you know, I think even our Yang di-Pertuan Agong has reminded every citizen of Malaysia to wash your hands. I think it's also important for us to remind you that it's important to do cyber hygiene. And, you know, those are the things like, you know, updating your apps and your computer and updating your passwords and so on and so forth. So we've got, you know, a story on that. But yes, social media.
Yeah, so I think it was early February when the World Health Organization dubbed this new coronavirus a massive infodemic. So, I mean, we know it's a pandemic,
COVID-19. New term.
It's a new term, referring to an overabundance of information, some accurate and some not, that makes it hard for people to find trustworthy sources and reliable guidance when they need it. It's a distinction that sets this coronavirus apart from previous viral outbreaks, you know, like when SARS and MERS and Zika, they all caused global panic and fears. But the coronavirus has been especially, the fears around the COVID-19 has been especially amplified because of social media. It has allowed disinformation to spread and flourish at unprecedented speeds, creating an environment of heightened uncertainty that has fueled anxiety and even racism in person and online as well. For its part, the WHO has attempted to address this issue by partnering with some social media giants like Twitter, Facebook, Tencent, and even TikTok to clamp down on misinformation. Mm. It recently launched a Google SOS alert to push WHO information to the top of people's search results when they go look for coronavirus or COVID-19 news.
I've noticed this on YouTube. You know, whenever you watch a YouTube video, there will be an information at the bottom.
Right.
And most of the ads now are actually WHO COVID-19.
Sponsored ads, right? Yeah. Also, you know, they've been working with, I think it was Facebook, to scrub posts with dubious health advice, and also with Tencent for a fact-checking platform to scrutinize coronavirus rumors that are circulating online. So, but with the sheer avalanche of content that has overwhelmed the coordinated efforts to clear out this noise, this in turn has created a breeding ground for xenophobic content. Racist memes and slurs have just been crazy on TikTok and on Facebook. You know, some teens have even gone about faking that they have the coronavirus, you know, just to earn themselves more social media clout. You know, they're milking it that way. So, so as much as social media has perpetuated disinformation, there's also a lot of good that has come on social media, right? You know, it has been an important source of verified information as well. Journalists around the world have used Chinese social media to gain more a more accurate picture of what was happening in China. You know, when they went on full lockdown, the volume of personal anecdotes and reports that circulate every day about the ground truth in China has also pressured the government there to release more accurate information about the COVID-19 crisis. Yeah. So social media has become Also, I guess, a space for collective grieving, stories of despair. There's also stories of kindness, you know, how people are beginning to donate, beginning to do more charitable things online for people who really need it at this time. So there's a real good mix of the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. But yeah. Well, what we want to know is, you know, do you feel like social media is actually helping or hurting us more in this battle against COVID-19?
Okay, so what was it? There's this meme that's going around, but there's an element of truth, right? My mother has a PhD in COVID from WhatsApp University. I think for all the mothers and parents out there, you know, so that has been going around. I think also, you know, I've got these friends who send me these things, and I have to tell them, I said, look, right, where is your source? You have to stop it there. Mm. Where is this source coming from? And not encouraging. And I said, you know, I work in media. If I'm not sharing this information, I get info overload. You have to stop and think, right? So you also have to, you know, make sure that when you go through these things and people send you this information, go back and say, where is the source, right? You have to put a stop. And of course, if it's a positive story, by all means, share that. Because it's very difficult, right? And it's and you feel like you're trapped, and just like I have to say, no, I just want to look at the positive that's coming out of this.
The other thing, I don't know if you noticed, I think the problem here is like, it's just so much. It's an overabundance. I think that's the word the WHO used, right? It's because it's like you get one message about rasam being the cure to COVID-19, that's fine. But if you get it like 20 times from 20 different sources, 20 different articles or clips or audio clips or videos, all of a sudden it just reinforces the fact that, okay, rasam is it, right? So, I mean, that's one thing. And also, I guess, you know, more of these sites are beginning to look more legit. Like, right? If you got something from just, say, RT News, you have no idea that it means nothing. You know, you can do a quick check and they might have a legit website that looks real with the WHO emblem on it. You know, it's getting more difficult for us to kind of fact check and to check if some of these things are really true.
There are a lot of spoof websites that have also been created. You know, actually, this is quite relevant to my earlier conversation with Casey from Deloitte Malaysia about fake news. And, you know, he mentioned that there has been a spike of the number of websites that have, you know, used terms like COVID-19 or coronavirus. And, you know, basically just news sites that's giving so-called information, but it's actually misinformation and disinformation about the, you know, the spread of COVID-19 and just spreading fear and just false information. So we actually got in touch with Matt Armitage from Culture Pop, who will be speaking to me tomorrow about, you know, I guess, technology and how it helps with COVID-19. So, Matt, does social media help or hurt in the battle against COVID-19?
It's kind of a difficult question. It's a little bit complicated because it falls on both sides. So we're seeing that connectivity part of social media being really important. We're seeing people using a lot of digital tools to hang out, whether it's video conferencing, whether it's doing Instagram lives together. We're seeing fitness trainers doing these kind of free sessions for people to exercise along with them at home. So yeah, there's definitely a very helpful aspect to this. We've even seen people, you know, holding watch parties, choosing what they're going to watch on whatever streaming service and watching together virtually and, you know, talking and chatting about this kind of stuff as though they were, you know, going to the movie theater and watching a movie. By the same token, we're also seeing a lot of transmission of fake news. I've got a friend who gets a lot of this misinformation. For some reason, it doesn't generally get to me. I think people know that I'm a little bit anti this kind of content. But I do see a lot of the things that are coming through, and do check any information you get, especially when it's things like, you know, eating this soup, eating this kind of combination of vegetables can help to ward off COVID. Stick with the information from official sources and from, you know, medical and science professionals.
We also asked Matt, you know, what he has seen that shows that social media is helping.
As I kind of mentioned before, you know, there's a lot of good stuff going on social media. Like I said, all of these kind of Instagram Live, Facebook Live kind of shows. TikTok seems to have really stepped up during this time. You know, I'm a bit surprised that we haven't seen this kind of concerted push from YouTube. But, you know, we're actually getting kind of almost programmatic content coming out through TikTok, they seem to have realized what kind of role this media can play during the crisis in terms of entertaining, educating, helping to keep people, you know, physically fit while they're at home, all of this kind of content. So it is interesting to see the kind of different responses of different social media companies to what's going on globally.
That's just Matt talking on and on and on. Conversely, what have he seen that has shown that it's hurting?
Again, as I mentioned, it's kind of this transmission of fake news and misinformation, sharing video clips purporting to be one thing when they're actually something else. So I had an instance where a cousin shared to me a video clip that he said was taken outside his sister's house in Milan. So she came on later on to say he was actually just joking. But these kind of things can, you know, they might be sent innocently, they might be sent lightheartedly or with a tongue-in-cheek kind of function. But do think, you know, quite carefully who it is that you're talking to, what kind of information that you're showing people. You might think it's a joke, they might have a completely different opinion of that. And that's something that, you know, I've had to modify my own behavior as well, because I can be quite sort of terse and pithy, and I post quite a lot of kind of dark material on social media. But I've been very kind of conscious of the kind of comments that I'm putting on other people's feeds, because this is a very kind of difficult time for people, and maybe people don't have that depth of sense of humor that they had a few weeks ago. Maybe they just don't appreciate sort of slightly off color or offhand comments. So, you know, the fake news bit, like I said, check, but also just kind of moderate the way that you interact with people as well, kind of as much as possible, maybe give it that positive spin or positive side.
And Matt, how can brands step up their game at this moment?
This is a really interesting time for brands. A lot of brands are exploring different kind of content platforms, different ways of getting information and their message out. There's no real kind of hard and fast rules to any of this, because we haven't been in this situation before. I think one of the things that that brands can do is, you know, if you can't find a new and relevant way to connect with people during this time, you know, something that's authentic, something that's helpful, then just stop communicating completely. I mean, I keep getting mailers from a company in the US for sun protective clothing for going outside. Well, you know, most of the world and large parts of the US are under lockdowns. That's not really appropriate for the time that we're in. Similarly, I saw an advert just before the MCO happened in Malaysia that was advertising free tickets to a kid's theme park. Now, you know, obviously that had probably been programmed before, but just get onto your agency and stop all that kind of content. Look at the kind of content you're putting out. And the same goes for media companies as well. You know, look at the kind of advertising that you have on your platform, and ask yourself, is it relevant to the messages that I want to convey to people today?
That was Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. And of course, you know, tomorrow you will be hearing more from Matt, less of me, as usual, as we will talk about how technology is helping the battle against COVID-19. But today we're asking you, does social media help or hurt in the battle against COVID-19? Get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or Twitter, Instagram. It's at BFM Radio. We'll be right back with your comments after this. BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, mixtapes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Jeff Sandhu, together with
Frida Liu
and Audrey Raj.
And today we're asking you, does social media help or hurt in the battle against COVID-19? You can get in touch with us on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter, Instagram. It's at BFM Radio. Do we want to go through Instagram first?
Yeah, so let's just look at some of the responses on Instagram. Kitinho says, nope, it's the people who cause more issues. Social media is only there to spread news. Root1 Gene says, in moderation, the MC Ho makes this hard, but Twitter has been very helpful because it's a text-based medium. And we've got one last one here from Smita Jairam, who says, yes, it helps. Social media helps, brings community together to help each other.
Okay, on WhatsApp here, we've got Chetian Yun said, what do you mean hurt? When social distancing is out there, social media-ing is all we've got.
Social media-ing.
From MII, so always red alert if message starts with, my friend, it says, so trash. And someone said here, Kevin Bear here said, someone forwarded a message that claims, neem plant robust water reduced his son and his friend's COVID system. So there you go, those kind of stories. This is a message that came earlier. I just thought I want to share this though. It's from Sharon Wu, who said, this MCO is a good chance to instill more values, ethics, family, and humane values. Maybe we can have some interviews or discussions on it. Listen to Raise Your Game. These values are important for families at home or in the office, young and old. Maybe run a poll that relates, do you think we need to change, improve our value system and society values? You know, what changes in the value system are you making? So probably those kind of questions.
On Twitter, Everbole says, every tool is like a kitchen knife. When used properly, it helps. Abuse it, then it's dangerous. The same goes for social media. Sure. Info on where to get online groceries on social media is good, but malicious attacks and quack remedies also comes with it. You need to use your brains. Yeah, interesting. So we also actually spoken to various individuals around, how they're actually looking at social media helping or hurting the battle against COVID-19.
Yeah, so we have Mayvon Lim, who is a digital marketer right here at BFM. We also have Marissa Ann Ganeshwaran, a writer at Likely.com. Sangeeta Krishnasamy, she's an actress. Meng Keng, an actor. And Krishila Devi, a teacher. And we asked all these guys about, their thoughts on social media. Is it helping? Is it hurting, in our fight against COVID-19? And we started off with a basic question, how can people be sure that the information that they're sharing is accurate?
I think it's the same with any other news. When you receive a piece of information, whether it's from forwarded messages via WhatsApp, or you've seen it on Facebook, or you've heard it from a friend, or you've seen it on IG stories, it's always important to cross-check and cross-check again to ensure that the information that you've received is accurate. I think it's very important to cross-check with a valid news portal as well. For instance, like BBC, CNN, or in Malaysia, the Malay Mail, or even from BFM ourselves, because you need to cross-check it with a valid news portal, not some random website. I think the struggle right now with the COVID situation is people get panicked and anxious very easily. So whenever they receive any kind of information, before they even cross-check it, they will forward it to their friends, forward into the family group chats. I'm sure everyone's family group chats right now are exploding with information that is not verified. You're not sure that they're accurate, but they're just like passing around through like the aunties and uncles. So yeah, I think it's very important to cross-check that information, and it's your responsibility to cross-check it before even sharing it with more people. That way you can ensure that the information that you're getting and the information that your peers are sharing are accurate.
You've got to always fact-check, because that's literally the backbone of getting the right information out there. And it's easy enough to put the information into Google to see if credible sources are all reporting the same thing. And by credible, we're talking about NST, SAIS, the Malaysian Reserve, WHO, sites like sebenarnya.my. These are one-stop centers for Malaysians to fact-check before actually sharing local news sources. These sites are technically master fake news busters, because we're facing something new. We cannot expect to have everything right from the get-go, but we can expect these sites to ensure a measure of credibility before disseminating the information.
Okay, how can people be sure that the information they're sharing is accurate? To be honest, the stage we're at right now with how people are handling social media and WhatsApp especially is super frightening. And on that note, one can never be sure about how accurate the information they're sharing is. I myself fell victim to a couple that seemed very convincing at first, and then I had to learn the hard way. I think the best thing to do before sharing or forwarding anything at all is to verify it with the online government agencies or reputable news portals. I think that's been really helpful for me as well. I'm super careful about what I share these days.
Now, does seeing other people on social media going through the same thing that you are make you feel more or less anxious?
Personally, I think there's a really fine line between seeing content that makes me feel more anxious or make me feel more at ease that, you know, we're all in this together. I think it really depends on the content itself.
I think it really depends because for us, we're motivated to create and curate content that will help us go through this time. Content like lists and tips and hacks and DIYs, because that's what we do. And I personally try to curate the content that I consume so that I'm only consuming content with good vibes. I like to have people who share uplifting quotes, funny memes, informative articles, and facts that are not written in such a way that it's all doom and gloom. You know, I'd rather have more of the types of articles that say, hey, this is what we're going through, this is what we can do, and we're going to get through this together by doing this, 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 this. In that sense, it's a lot more positive and it's a lot easier to consume. So I do feel less anxious. Yeah, because I'm surrounding myself with good vibes, and I think that's very important to do.
Well, I won't say it makes me feel anxious. I think it's been very uplifting to watch people trying to cope and trying to help one another while at it. We have to understand that we are social animals. We have been conditioned to socialize and to go against all of those principles and all of this conditioning that we have been through since we were kids is really difficult, but it's very admirable to watch the way people are coping with it. Almost everyone in on my social media I see are cooking or baking for their loved ones, even the ones who've never done it before, so that's fun. And then there are singers and musicians that I see who go online or go live entertaining people with live concerts and so on. I think that's really admirable. So overall, I think it's been uplifting because I browse through social media to keep myself updated with what's happening. You know, we can't be completely disconnected. So I think social media plays an important role right now to keep ourselves updated with the ones that we know, with our friends and our family as well, as far as this social distancing goes.
Now, so how do all of y'all keep your spirits up whilst looking through some of the negative content?
I try to limit the amount of time that I'm exposed to these negative news. I think that's really important to not get too caught up with all this negativity. Ultimately, the COVID-19 situation is something that's out of your control. As a fitness instructor and part of like the huge Malaysian fitness community, what I really do appreciate during this period is, you know, watching everyone just trying to help each other get through this. Everyone trying their very best to post positive content, whether it's humorous ones or, you know, ideas on what you can do during the self-isolation period, what you can do that would add value to yourself, some productive ideas, content that reminds people of what you can do that's within your control, that really helps keep the spirit up. You know, everyone tagging each other, everyone working out together, everyone staying physically active at home, everyone reminding each other to, you know, be more aware of your mental well-being, watching everyone trying to uplift each other, that really keeps my spirits up despite negative updates of the news.
Stick to publishers and content creators that you know provide positive content. I always ask myself, what is useful from here? If there's nothing useful, I move on and I forget about it because I don't want the bad juju to stick to me, you know? If there is useful content that's been put out in a negative way, I take what I need and I repurpose it for good use. So, for example, statistics on how divorce rates are going up. Instead of saying more and more marriages are failing, the alternative would be something along the lines of ways to ensure you keep the romance alive during the movement control order or with social distancing, something like that.
Okay, how can people be sure that the information they're sharing is accurate? To be honest, the stage we're at right now with how people are handling social media and WhatsApp especially is super frightening. And on that note, one can never be sure about how accurate the information they're sharing is. I myself fell victim to a couple that seemed very convincing at first, and then I had to learn the hard way. I think the best thing to do before sharing or forwarding anything at all is to verify it with the online government agencies, or reputable news portals. I think that's been really helpful for me as well. I'm super careful about what I share these days.
I think seeing other people going through the same thing as I do actually makes me feel a bit less anxious, because it kind of makes it feel like, you know, we're all going through the same thing and that we're not alone in this. I think that's very important for us. And how I actually keep my spirits up while looking through all these negative content on the internet, what I actually do is I just compartmentalize everything, and I try not to dwell on it, because I know that dwelling on it will just drive us into a cycle of depressing thoughts, and I've been there before and I don't want to do that. So I tend to just break off those negative thoughts before it gets too deep, and I just switch on to something else, either playing computer games or watching TV series like comedies, you know.
It can be quite disheartening to see all the negative content in the news or social media, but that is the reality of what's going around in the world today. So I know that I have to keep myself updated on the news, so I do make sure I'm exposed to that. But at the same time, it's important to remain hopeful during these times. So for all the bad that's going on, there are also a lot of good messages to take away from this, like how we're forced to reflect on what's really important in life, to think about how our choices are affecting the world, affecting people, affecting climate, and to be thankful for the people who are sacrificing their time and their well-being, you know, helping other people out. I mean, there are a lot of positive things that come out when something bad happens. And I think the only way you can keep your sanity and your, you know, your emotions in check during these times is to make sure that you're exposing yourself to as much positive content as you are negative. That's how I deal with it. Anyway.
That was teacher Kushila Devi. You also heard Meng King, who's an actor, Sangeeta Krishnasamy, who's an actress, Marissa Ann Ganeshwaran, a writer at likely.com, as well as our very own Mavon Lim, digital marketer at BFM.
Mm. And also, you know, today we're asking you, has social media helped or hurt in the battle against COVID-19? Remember, you can get in touch on WhatsApp 018-789-8899, Twitter, Instagram, it's at BFM Radio. This is Elvis Presley with A Little Less Conversation, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.